Flavors of Knowledge is a bilingual podcast focusing on gastronomic education in relation to a healthy lifestyle through food first. Our philosophy carries a moral obligation of sharing sensible knowledge to generate social awareness. Podcasts are in English with an accent and Italian.
Welcome back, dear friends. I'm Chef Walter, and here we go with a brand new episode of Flavors and Knowledge, and this is a virtual cooking class. We're going to be making pasta frolla with a lady named Francesca Spalluto. Francesca is an accomplished baker and classically trained chef whose signature cakes and chocolate salami are a fresh spin on old-world European traditions. She trained at the International Culinary Center in New York, formerly the French Culinary Institute. I had heard about Francesca from a chef with whom I had worked in several events, and I was intrigued about her commitment in creating unique and captivating desserts. Since I was not able to get her to the show, I followed her blog, and out of the bunch, I took this exquisite dough called pasta frolla. And so, let's look into it. For a quick description, pasta frolla is the base for many beloved pastries in Italy. Different parts of the country have different traditions, and in the northern part of the land, frolla is usually made with unsalted butter. And from the center of Italy going south, bakers often use lard as the fat of choice. Throughout Italy, pasta frolla is used for crostate, the rustic fruit tarts often filled with homemade jams or fresh fruit when in season, as well as more regional specialties such as pastiera in Naples, made with lard instead of butter, and cooked wheat called grano. This classic tart is popular during the Eastern time. Pasta frolla is also the base for the wonderful torta della nonna, which affectionately translates into grandma's tort, and that is from Tuscany, as well as many other tarts filled with ricotta, chestnuts, and even chickpeas and chocolate. One that memories my infancy was the bocconotto from my native Abruzzo. Here, the dough draped into metal forms filled with chocolate, coffee, and ground almonds. The top sealed and baked. It was the weekend snack for me and my siblings, and to this day, I can sublimely reconnect to those days. I must have been 9 or 10 years old. Years later, I found out that kids in the US are not really permitted to drink coffee at such a young age. I guess my mother didn't think there was anything wrong with giving us coffee to us. The frolla dough is also excellent to make various cookies, and if you omit the sugar and adjust the salt, it may be used for any types of savory tarts filled with your favorite greens, cheeses, and perhaps some hams. Francesca says that to achieve a good pasta frolla with a melt-in-your-mouth texture, it's important to keep in mind some basic rules. If the butter is too soft, the frolla will become tough. If the frolla is worked too much, the gluten in the flour will develop too much, making your dough very hard and tough. On the other end, if the dough is not worked enough, it will not cook evenly. Pasta frolla freezes very well. You can keep some extra dough in the freezer ready to use, and to defrost it, remove it from the freezer and refrigerate it overnight. I'm going to list you Francesca's basic recipe for pasta frolla, and this is done in grams as opposed to ounces. So your main ingredients are going to be 500 grams of sifted all-purpose flour, 300 grams of sweet butter, which you're going to dice and leave to soften at room temperature. You're going to need 200 grams of confectioner's sugar, 4 to 6 egg yolks, depending on the size of the eggs, 5 ounces of organic honey, and 1/2 teaspoon of kosher salt or marine salt. The directions are pretty basic. Step 1, in the bowl of a stand mixer, using the paddle attachment, mix together the butter, confectioner's sugar, and honey until well incorporated. In another small bowl, whisk the yolks together with the salt. Slowly incorporate this bowl into the butter mixture. At this point, you can add the flour and whisk just until no more flour is visible and a dough forms. Take a little bit of the dough out with your hands and it should feel soft but not sticky. Lay out a sheet of parchment paper and lightly dust with flour. Remove the dough from the bowl of the stand mixer and roll out onto the parchment into a square of 1 inch of thickness. Wrap the square of dough and chill for at least 2 hours or overnight. Take out the dough from the refrigerator and let it rest at room temperature until it is pliable enough to be used. Once you have mastered the basics of making pasta frolla, you can adapt your recipe depending on how you plan to use the dough and how much dough you're going to be needing. Few more tips and tricks from Francesca. The classic Italian method for pasta frolla consists of first mixing the softened butter with sugar and aromatics. And in this case, you can use your pure vanilla, lemon zest, etc. Then adding the liquid in which the salt has been dissolved. Flour is always added last. The most basic Italian recipe is the frolla from the city of Milan, in which the proportion of butter to sugar to flour is 1:1:2, and that is 1 part of butter, 1 part of sugar, an equal proportion, and the flour is double that amount. Liquids are usually 10% of the total combined weight of butter, sugar, and flour. This is really a good example of why measuring your ingredients by weight is so important. Everything becomes a matter of ratios, and it gets easier to adjust the recipes. The pasta frolla can also be made using the sanding method, which consists of quickly working the cold, diced butter into the flour, using the paddle attachment of the stand mixer until the dough resembles wet sand. This can also be done by hand, mixing the butter and flour together between your thumbs and four fingers. By working the flour with the butter in this way, the flour particles get coated in a protective film of butter fat. This prevents the flour from absorbing too much water and activating the gluten proteins, which will result in a tough dough. A dough made this way will make a particularly crumbly pastry shell. This technique is especially good for baking in hot weather, when melting butter in the dough can result in a dough that is more difficult to handle. To change the texture of the dough for different applications, you can make small adjustments to the types and amounts of ingredients. For example, using a higher proportion of sugar will make your frolla crunchier. A higher proportion of butter will make it flakier. For a more tender frolla, you can cut your flour with some potato starch. As a general rule, use 90% flour and 10% potato starch. A frolla made with just egg yolks will be more tender than a frolla made with all eggs. For a tart that slices easily, you can add a tiny bit of baking powder to the recipe by using 1 teaspoon per 500 grams of flour. When choosing between granulated sugar and powdered sugar, Francesca likes to use confectioner's sugar. The confectioner's sugar gets more evenly dispersed throughout the dough, giving the dough a finer texture. Adding honey to the dough gives it a uniform golden color. Depending on how you plan to use your dough, you may prefer to use granulated sugar. For example, if you plan to use the dough for the shell of a fruit tart, she recommends using whole eggs and granulated sugar rather than just the yolks and confectioner sugars. This will result in a sturdier shell that will stand up to the moisture of the cooked fruit. When using granulated sugar, make sure you allow the dough to rest overnight before rolling it out, which will make the dough much easier to work with. And this is what Francesca had to say of the reasons why her recipes are in grams. It's a common practice in the United States to bake using recipes that call for ingredients measured in cups and tablespoons. But these measures, while just fine for cooking most recipes, are too imprecise for baking. Baking is a science, and unless you use every exact measures, the recipe cannot come out differently every time you make it. Little changes can make a big difference in many recipes. A cup of flour that isn't leveled quite right may actually be too much. A cup of brown sugar may not be packed quite enough and may end up being less than the recipe calls for. Weather, humidity, and environmental conditions can all have an effect on the measurements and the final products. Maybe this unpredictability and variability of using volume measurements is the reason so many people feel intimidated by baking and disappointed by recipe failures. In order to ensure a consistent and successful outcome when baking, professional bakers weight their ingredients. Measuring ingredients by weight makes it easier to make sure that they have exactly the amount they need each and every time. It also makes the sometimes complicated job of adjusting the recipe for size a question of simple math. And there you have it, the classic pasta frolla from Francesca Spalluto. You can reach Francesca on her website listed on the podcast description. We also invite you to follow Flavors and Knowledge on your preferred podcast platform and watch our News You Can Eat 24 on YouTube under the Chef Walter Cooking School search. Keep your eyes on the fire, safe cooking, and we'll chat next time. Ciao, ciao.
Flavors and Knowledge is brought to you by Chef Walter's Cooking School in Cranston, Rhode Island. For classes, workshops, events, and programs, please visit our website at chefwalterscookingschool.com. For all other services offered by Chef Walter's Food Group, check out our main website, chefwalter.com.